Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Charles is ready to make his first royal tour as king as he makes some surprising decisions regarding Prince Harry.
Definitely not. You know, it sounds like they've had, you know, like ongoing communication. I think there's a decision to be made on whether they come or not come. What does their presence or non-presence look like or mean for this historical event?
Rebel Wilson and Chris Rock take aim at Meghan Markle as Harry gets candid in a virtual event.
I think Chris Rock was probably, you know, knew the pieces that were going to make headlines. You know, he's been around long enough to know which jokes to make that are kind of going to, you know, give his special more popularity. But it was an interesting conversation to hear.
Plus, what it means that the royal family invited Harry to the coronation, but kicked him out of Frogmore. Gareth Russell helps us break it all down.
That indicates that the decision to remove Frogmore from them really was not as big of an insult as we initially thought last week.
We've got that plus so much more in today's Royally Us. Hello to our fellow royal lovers and welcome to Royally Us. I'm Christina, that's Christine, and the royal news is back up and running.
I feel like we jinxed it. We were like, oh, just nice quiet stories, and now we have so many bombshells to get into.
So many. Before we do, we got to see what you guys had to say about last week's show. Poppy says, Harry should be ashamed of himself, and if he has any decency left, he would stay away from his father's big day and not ruin it. He's a traitor and hope one day he will realize how much he gave up for money. A lot of people have that opinion that he's a traitor. Yeah. So I think a lot of people are in agreement. CA Girl says nobody likes people who trash their own family. How can they pretend to be kind and compassionate when they can't even be kind to their own families? And Lenore says the princess is amazing with her willingness to get athletic, even in heels. They both seem to have so much fun together. It's pretty much an agreement across the board. Everybody is not really on the Harry bashing his family train.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It does seem that like universally people can't really get on board with talking that badly about your family so publicly. So it's been really interesting to see that play out.
It really has. All right, let's get into our, well, there's a lot of royal Harry news this week. So we got to get right into it and kick it off with the news that they received an invitation to the coronation, but whether they will attend is still up in the air. A spokesperson for the Duke and Duchess of Sussex told the Sunday Times, "I can confirm the Duke has recently received email correspondence from His Majesty's office regarding the coronation. An immediate decision on whether the Duke and Duchess will attend will not be disclosed by us at this time." Buckingham Palace did not have a comment. We're going to talk a little bit more about this with Gareth in our interview, but Christine, were you surprised that they received this invitation? And do you think that they're going to go?
Definitely not. You know, it sounds like they've had, you know, like ongoing communication. I think there's a decision to be made on whether they come or not come. What does their presence or non-presence look like or mean for this historical event? And Gareth will break this down so well later on in the show. But, you know, this is a huge historical religious service. You know, there's so much that goes into it. So it's a bit different from just either they go or they don't go. It's, will they participate? What role do they have? What, you know, so it's the conversation definitely needed to be started now. So I'm not surprised that we're sort of hearing these, this statement has been made.
No, totally. I agree with you. Yeah. I never doubted that they wouldn't invite them. It would have felt weird if they didn't. And then everyone would have been like, oh, you know, that's how they're getting their revenge. And that's not the way that they do things. So whether or not that they decide to attend is still up in the air. But as we know, when they go there, they won't really have the Frogmore Cottage to stay at because they have been told to vacate the premises. A spokesperson for the couple's Archwell Foundation told Us Weekly, "We can confirm the Duke and Duchess of Sussex have been requested to vacate their residence at Frogmore Cottage." Omid Scobie was the one to first report it, and they said that the news was broke to Harry after the release of Spare, which hit, of course, shelves in January. Charles allegedly claimed the UK residence was needed for someone else, which turned out to be Prince Andrew. The journalist noted that Harry and Meghan were less than 3 years into a long-term lease on the property, and they have stayed at Windsor home during their rare trips to the UK after the royal exit. Again, we're going to break this down a little bit more with Gareth later, because there's an interesting twist that has been reported about this. But they were staying there every single time that they went there. That was supposed to be their primary residence. And now it looks like all those renovations they did will be going to Prince Andrew.
I know. It's really interesting because they did kind of have this whole spiel in the Netflix series about how they packed up all their stuff and moved away. You know, there's photographs floating around of them standing in empty rooms surrounded by moving boxes. Mm-hmm. So it clearly wasn't a family home anymore, but I'm sure it was sort of a safe place for them for when they landed. A really interesting story that it almost seems that Harry and Meghan are distracting from the real story, but we'll talk about it later.
All right, Prince, stay tuned. So Prince Harry sat down with Dr. Gabor Maté for a special live stream on March 4th. I don't know if anybody paid the $35 to tune in, but if you didn't, we're going to break it down. The therapist asked the Duke of Sussex about accusations that he is playing a victim. So Harry responded saying, "I certainly don't see myself as a victim. I'm really grateful to be able to share my story in the hope that it will help empower, encourage others, and hopefully let people understand that, again, back to this human experience that we all in some shape or form are all connected, especially through trauma." He opened up about everything from psychedelic drugs, how his wife saved him, his kids, and Dr. Maté offered Harry an official diagnosis of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And he said, "Whether you like it or not, I have diagnosed you with ADD. He also said that he suffers from PTSD from the trauma of losing his mother at such a young age. But yeah, there was definitely some interesting revelations. The fact that he's not scared to admit that he has taken some psychedelic drugs, said that his wife had saved him during a really obviously tough time in his life. There were some interesting things to this, but I don't know if a lot of people were happy that he charged so much money to tune in.
Yeah, I do wonder what viewership looked like, because it was really expensive, especially since most people who'd be interested in this probably already had the book. True. Paying the fee to get another copy of the book was a bit of, you know, a false economy. But this was a really interesting example of something that we've talked about before, where Harry and Meghan, and Harry lately especially, really has to be careful with what he says, because it's meticulously painstakingly dissected. And even it seems in this case, the guest, the person alongside him, is also facing that hyper intense scrutiny, because Dr. Maté is now being criticized for his official diagnosis, with official ADHD organizations saying that this is, you know, an unethical way to diagnose someone. There's also organizations saying that Harry's statements about PTSD are, you know, inaccurate and harmful. And it's just an example of how, no matter what they say, because I do think that Harry's, what Harry shared in this experience, he did out of goodness, trying to normalize the conversation, trying to open up the conversation to more people, is now kind of turning against him and being, you know, hyper scrutinized and turned into, you know, something that's now become negative.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like what Harry and Meghan really need to do is just kind of take a step back, reevaluate, and, you know, let this kind of just let the dust settle for a little while, let everybody kind of not forget about you for a little while, but forget about you for a little while, and then come back and do something good with this platform, which I know that, like you said, he is trying to do, and he's trying to open up that discussion on mental health, but people are just not taking that seriously right now after reading what they read in Spare and seeing kind of the fallout from that. I just really think that they should kind of take a step back.
Totally agree. This is the time to sort of quietly fly under the radar, do some quiet, low key work through Archwell, and then come back after the dust settles, maybe post coronation, with something more impactful.
Yes. Make us miss you. Let's do that. All right. Well, the king and queen are gearing up for their first tour since Charles ascended the throne. Buckingham Palace announced that he and Camilla will travel to France and Germany ahead of the coronation for their first overseas visit as a new reign. They're going to be going for 5 days and it will take place from March 26th to March 31st. So right around the corner. While he has officially traveled the world for decades, this will be the first time as he will do as king. They said that the visit will celebrate the UK's relationship with France and Germany, marking our shared histories, culture, and values. It also is a chance to look forward and show the many ways our countries are working in partnership, whether that be to tackle climate change, respond to the conflict in Ukraine, seize trade and investment opportunities, or share the best of our arts and culture. So yeah, a big royal tour right around the corner.
This sounds actually like a really exciting series of events. It's going to be a really glittering, very royal couple of days on this royal tour. You know, this isn't just the recent royal tours we've seen, like in the Caribbean, have been very casual, but this is like state dinner in the Palace of Versailles, you know, glittering tiaras and ball gowns levels of events. And I think especially post-Brexit, these sort of tours really cement friendly relationships between these countries. Like they said, you know, seizing trade and investment opportunities. This is, although royals are meant to fly under the political radar, this can kind of go a long way to keep those political relationships very friendly.
Ready for it. So excited. All right, let's spill some royal tea. And Sarah Ferguson is making the rounds doing some press tours as she is promoting her book. And she says that there is no judgment as Harry and Meghan make their own way. She spoke to People magazine and said, "I don't believe that any single person has the right to judge another person. I'm not in a position myself to make any judgments. I have been judged all my life and I have no judgment on the Sussexes." She added, "I think that Diana would be incredibly proud of her grandchildren and not just the Sussex grandchildren, but Will's children." So, yeah, I mean, as somebody that was highly judged for a lot of her choices and actions and was kind of shunned from the royal family, it's interesting to say that, you know, she's not going to pass any judgment here.
I know. She really is. You know, she was the most recent example, I think, of someone who just really didn't fit the royal mold. And so, you know, stepped out of that royal limelight. And she's had such a diverse life since then. You know, she's written a number of books, children's books, young adult books, and has really lived an interesting life. So I think she could probably share some interesting perspective with Meghan and Harry. I think we heard that she sort of taught Meghan how to curtsy at the last minute as the queen was, you know, en route. So I'm sure she, you know, could be a person of support during this incredible transition that Meghan and Harry are trying to go through. And it's really interesting that she's trying to stay mum, you know, no judgment. I think maybe she could be like sort of a maternal figure for them during this time.
Definitely. All right, moving on, because a couple of high profile celebrities have taken aim at Meghan this past week, Rebel Wilson being one of them. She claimed on Watch What Happens Live that she recently met Meghan and Prince Harry and the two of them gave off some very different vibes. She said they went up to Santa Barbara, they met Harry, he could not have been nicer, but she said Meghan was not as cool as her husband, claiming she wasn't as naturally warm. And then my mom, being Australian, just asked her all these slightly rude questions like, "Where are your kids?" and things like that. So maybe that's why she wasn't happy. I get that. She probably was like, "Why are you asking me where my children are? I'm just out having a good time. I deserve a night off." Maybe I'll give her a pass on this one.
Yeah, I can sort of see, especially since she probably recognized Rebel Wilson, who's very recognizable, but she may have been like, "Who's this lady?"
Right.
Like, what's happening? So I can sort of sympathize a little bit, although I've never met a rude Australian.
Right. That is true. All right. Well, Chris Rock also weighed in on Meghan Markle's allegations about experiencing racism within the royal family. Of course, she made those allegations during her 2021, which is crazy that the interview was like 2 years ago at this point. It blows my mind. So he poked fun at her when she claimed that an unnamed royal relative expressed concerns about the color of Archie's skin ahead of his birth. Well, he said on his Netflix special that the comments weren't racist. Instead of referring to them as in-law, S-H-I-T, he explained, "I'm like, what the F is she talking about? They're so racist. They wanted to know how brown the baby was going to be. I'm like, that's not racist because even Black people want to know how brown the baby going to be. We check behind them ears." He, addressing Meghan herself, he went on to joke, "Didn't she hit the light skin lottery and she's still going off complaining?" He pointed out that while it can be difficult for a Black girl to be accepted by her white in-laws, it's even harder for a white girl trying to be accepted by her Black in-laws, adding that that it's really hard. So yeah, I mean, even hitting Netflix Netflix comedy specials, I don't know if she's very happy with that, since she has got to deal with Netflix as well.
I know, it'll be interesting to see if this story sort of plays out at all. I think Chris Rock was probably, you know, knew the pieces that were going to make headlines. You know, he's been around long enough to know which jokes to make that are kind of going to, you know, give his special more popularity. But it was an interesting conversation to hear. And I think it's been really interesting in a good and in the worst and best ways to see how this now plays out, you know, on social media, people responding to it, either supporting him or not supporting him. Right. And it just goes to show anything you say now can become, you know, part of the public conversation.
100%. And how the public conversation could change throughout these past 2 years about them as well, because they had a lot more supporters 2 years ago than they do right now. So it's
delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Interesting how that narrative has changed over the course of those 2 years. All right, well, it's time to break down the royal rules. And this week we are joined by our friend and royal author, historian Gareth Russell, who's going to talk to us a little bit more about Harry and Meghan's invitation to the coronation and what it really means about them being vacated from Frogmore. Take a look. Kicking off with the reaction of Harry and Meghan being invited to the coronation. Did you think that was going to happen? Are you surprised? Or what did you think about this?
I 100% thought they were going to be invited. I mean, we've spoken about this together before. Mm-hmm. I think Charles III has been extending olive branches. We saw it with his first address after to the nation after becoming king, where he mentioned, you know, his love for Harry and Meghan and hoping that they built a lot, you know, their life abroad happily. So yeah, I was never a doubt in my mind that he was going to invite them. I think even after the publication of Spare, I didn't really doubt that Charles III would issue the invitation. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, I mean, the next question is, do you think they'll go? Should they go? Should they not go? What happens?
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm slightly reluctant to like ruin my winning streak. I feel like maybe I should like walk away from the table before the house wins. I don't know. If I'm absolutely honest, I can't call it with the Sussexes. They're harder to predict. I think you can probably speak more to this, Christina, but I think like their approval numbers in America seem to be quite low at the minute. Mm-hmm. And obviously for their brand going forward, I imagine that's not great. And as much as there may be critics of it, crowns and diamonds add sparkle when you're the closer you are to them. I think they might want to reinvigorate the brand that way. But I could also see why they might not want to go. They could feel nervous going. I think their approval rating, their approval ratings in the UK are very low, but public opinion's a fickle thing that could change. Mm-hmm. So ultimately my answer is kind of answerless. I don't know whether the Sussexes will go. I could see good reasons for them to go, but it might be something they don't want to participate in, or they'll be nervous about the public reaction when they go over.
Do you think if they do attend, obviously all hypothetically speaking, is this a step into the right direction, or do you think that they're just going for formality and just to kind of save face?
Yeah.
And, you know, do you think, I don't know.
I think if the Sussexes go, I would hope, I think it could be a step in the right direction. I think there are a lot of jokes during the rounds in Britain that if they do turn up, the royal family better ask them to sign an NDA or check if they're wearing microphones. Right. But that, I mean, that's sort of like a tongue-in-cheek jibe. But there is a sense that anything and everything could end up on Netflix, or everything and anything could end up in a book, and the other party involved won't have had the right to respond. So there is, I think there's probably a certain amount of suspicion of the Sussexes' links to the media, which is ironic considering Prince Harry's lifelong campaign against media intrusion. Sure. Maybe if they spend time together at the coronation, those doubts will soften. I don't know. But I think nothing ever really gets better the longer you leave the problem, if that makes sense. I think that would be my instinct. I could be completely wrong on that. But I think one step forward is better than not taking a step at all.
If they do attend the coronation, they won't have a place to stay because they got kicked out of Frogmore. Yeah. Why do you think that King Charles wanted them to be removed from the, obviously they're not there that much, so they're not going to use the residence, but why do you think that he told them to kind of vacate the property?
So this really is about a hammer blow to Prince Andrew rather than the Sussexes. So this system, there are three residences at play in here. Frogmore's the one getting all the attention. But there is a 30-bedroom cottage, a mansion called Royal Lodge that was built by George IV. And it was the Queen Mother's home in the area until she died there in 2002, whereupon the lease was transferred to Prince Andrew. And a lot of these minor properties, smaller houses that the royal family own, there is a system that was set up in the 19th century where they're leased to trusted family servants, exiled cousins, or junior members of the family. And in return, these family members pay, I mean, way, way below the market value of these properties in rent. They don't own them. But the flip side of that is that they are legally under the responsibility of upkeeping those properties. Mm. So Prince Andrew has this 30-bedroom house that used to belong to the Queen Mother, and he's no longer a working royal. Mm. He was on a civil list and on a salary of about £239,000 a year, and the King has announced that has to be drastically cut because he doesn't want Prince Andrew coming back into public life at all. Prince Andrew then asked for a job running the royal estates up at Balmoral, which, knowing Prince Andrew's track record with how he treats his staff, must have had every member of the Balmoral staff reciting the rosary that it wouldn't happen. and the King has said that there is no possibility of that. So Prince Andrew's salary income is about to be stripped back way, way below what he currently receives. And he won't be able to afford the upkeep of Royal Lodge. And the King considers it inappropriate that he lives there. Frogmore is a lot smaller. It will cost a lot less money to upkeep. And also Prince Andrew won't have a public role, but he will still be under protection. He won't be at risk of kidnapping or a terrorist attack or anything like that. But really, this is about getting Andrew out of Royal Lodge. And Prince Andrew is digging his heels in about being asked to leave very strongly, does not want to give up Royal Lodge, even though he won't be able to support the maintenance of it. The other thing, quite interestingly, is last week I thought there was some piece missing from this story. Mm. And we now know, it's now emerged, that the King is offering, it's not so much an eviction of Harry and Meghan as it is a swap, because he's not only taking Royal Lodge off Prince Andrew, he's taking off Prince Andrew his pretty lavish apartment and suite at the heart of Buckingham Palace, and he's offering that to Harry and Meghan to use when they come to Britain. So Harry and Meghan will be at the heart of Buckingham Palace, at probably one of the best protected buildings in the world, in the sense that will hopefully soothe the fears that Prince Harry has about media intrusion, and you know, he has voiced understandable concerns about his family's safety from media intrusion when they're in Britain. If they're at Buckingham Palace, there's no place that they will be safer from media intrusion. But also, to give them a suite in Buckingham Palace at what is really essentially the symbolic heart of the monarchy in terms of the public's view of it, that indicates that the decision to remove Frogmore from them really was not as big of an insult as we initially thought last week. To be offering them a place, a very nice place to stay in Buckingham Palace, indicates a continued attempt at an olive branch. It also, however, indicates that with the removal of the Buckingham Palace accommodation and Royal Lodge, that there is absolutely no possibility of Prince Andrew ever returning to public working life as a royal. That the olive branches being extended to Harry, I think, are sincere. There's no olive branch being extended to Andrew, quite understandably. I mean, I was doing an interview about this last week and for the BBC here, and they said, do you think that Prince Andrew will come back to public life? And I jokingly said, there's more chance of the Titanic rising from the seabed. But I actually stand by that. I think, Prince Andrew was a deeply unpopular member of the royal family even before the abysmal state of his morals and private life became public. And so the judgment of the British public is that he's not fit to represent the monarchy, which is why the king is moving very firmly to take Royal Lodge off him and to remove the apartment at Buckingham Palace. The Royal Lodge might go to William and Catherine. We don't know, but we do know that the king is really on a mission to slim down the monarchy cost-wise. And a lot of these properties that ticked along in this system I've mentioned, the king just think it's time to cut them loose because they're a dead weight, some of these properties. They can't really be justified in the current climate. But from Harry and Meghan's perspective, in terms of public visibility and being close to the heart of the monarchy, Buckingham Palace, that the suite at Buckingham Palace is certainly a boon if they choose to accept it.
Yeah. Seems like another olive branch and a lot of swift decisions by the king.
I think that's like a full olive grove.
So interesting that, they could be, staying at Buckingham Palace, which, like we said, does seem like a very big olive branch.
I think I would not turn that down. I think a lot of us would be just fine with a suite at Buckingham Palace.
Sounds like a sweet deal for me.
Yes.
All right, well, let's get into our pint-sized palace. And during that virtual book event, Harry opened up about the lack of physical contact in his childhood and how that shaped him as a father. He said, it leaves me in the position how, as a father, I have two kids of my own, making sure that I smother them with the love and affection. But in the sense that I as a father, feel a huge responsibility to ensure that I don't pass on any traumas or negative experiences I've had. And that's work. That's putting in the work and daily being conscious of my behavior, of my reactions to both my kids. He said that there are times that he catches himself in a moment when he should be smothering them with that love. And in that moment, I might not be reminding myself to. I wouldn't have been as aware of it had I not done the therapy and work that I have done. I mean, I feel like that's, the right, you always look back at your childhood and kind of want to correct the mistakes that maybe you experienced. And I feel like that's what he's doing. And it seems like, say what you will about him, but he does seem like a great father.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is, again, opening up a conversation, normalizing that idea of breaking the cycle with your own children, which is something that, a lot of moms talk about. You see it all the time on Instagram, these mommy accounts talking about breaking the generational trauma. Not a lot of dads talking about it. So for him to talk about how he smothers his kids with affection, how he's gone to therapy, how he's breaking that cycle of generational trauma as a father and as a man, I think really can open that conversation up with a lot of other guys, a lot of other men and fathers who maybe couldn't relate to that before and now realize that it's okay.
Yeah, definitely. It's an important conversation to have. All right, well, that is it for this week's episode of Royal Yes. What a jam-packed week.
That was a lot going on. That was a lot. There's a lot to get to.
And I'm sure you guys have a lot to say. So please keep commenting, keep subscribing, and we'll see you guys next week.